Welcome to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CDJ, joined by JB Huskers. JB, how are you?
Good. We are a week away from June, which means the month after that is July.
Tommy is out this evening. He's busy in Louisville, Kentucky. He's working on becoming Scotty Scheffler's personal driver. A lot of information. We expect game news anytime now. And for the sake of disclosure, we're recording this on Monday, May 27th, the night of Memorial Day. So if information comes out in the next few hours or next few days, you'll understand why we're not talking about it on this episode. Why do we think news is coming soon? Last week down in Orlando, an EA event was held, college football and game media, on site in the studio to get a look at both Madden NFL 25 and EA Sports College Football 25. Last week, Matt Brown, Munlow's in attendance, confirming he was there. He kind of had teased this on his newsletter and on Twitter. He went to Florida for an event. Got lots of information, can't share it yet. A lot of the attendees said they will have things to share soon. So we're all taking that to mean before the beginning of June. And I believe even Matt said before June, we will have information from him, from EA. So a lot of people thinking Tuesday the 28th or maybe Thursday the 30th, we'll get that information. Among the attendees, a lot of college football media that we know of, Robbie Kellen, Matt Brown, Bud Elliott. Among those listed, Chris Vanini from The Athletic, Chris Vanini and also Ari Wasserman are taking questions on Twitter for their podcast until Saturday. Lots of media kind of teased they're going to be there. We don't know how many Game Media members were going to be there, only one that we know of. Unsure if any community members were there. There were two tweets on Twitter and JB. We won't name them in case we don't know if they were hinting they were there or just teasing they were there for clicks and likes. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of information we get with the embargo finally lifts after, I'm assuming, after EA makes their announcement first on features. Some of the college football media, this is at least the second trip they've made down to Orlando. We knew last year that Ari Wasserman let it out of the bag that he had gone down to the studio. And at the time he disclosed it was to give feedback on Dynasty Mode and talking about recruiting and whatnot. We don't know if it was purely feedback, if they got to see the game, got to play the game. JB, let me throw an idea out there. I have nothing to base this on besides EA historically, what they've done with other titles like Madden and NBA Live. I think there's a chance that some of these college football media will be in the game. I'm assuming maybe as a Twitter news feed. We've seen in Madden and NBA Live, they record people doing reactions basically on set of their own show or podcast. Do you think I'm off base with that guess?
Or they could be involved in maybe post-game press conferences too, which Madden has had. I think in the past they've just had generic people though, like in the Madden here, they may have actual media possibly in that. I would say that's going to be a stretch though. That would be probably the most outlandish thing that they have for them, right. But it's probably just going to be an in-game social news feed, much like Madden has had for a very long time now.
That makes a lot of sense. Also last week, a big article that I know we mentioned on the Gaming Tailgate, but I don't think it got enough attention everywhere, so I wanted to highlight a couple points here. There's an ESPN article talking about Inside the Return of the College Football Video Game, written by Michael Rothstein. It talks about kind of the background of how the game returned, how it was a several-year battle. Daryl Holt talks about how he pushed for it, and finally when he found out that they were going to get the go-ahead to work on the game. A couple of points I do want to bring up that we didn't get to last show when he mentioned this. Player faces, they talk about this, and this is something we talked about months and months ago. How are they going to handle 11, 12, 13,000 player faces in the game when historically EA Sports has not been great at generic faces? Let's be honest, they only had a small pool in Save About 14 and even just a small pool in Madden and EA Sports PGA Tour. A lot of the community not real happy with how that worked. What they've built is a system called Generic Plus. What they can do is take pictures of the players and they put it in. I believe the wording they use is machine made, which to me, does that mean AI? It takes about 2 to 3 hours to make a face. They can go in and tweak it, anything that's odd about it, in about 15, 20 minutes, and it is done. In the past, they had said that it took about 1 day to make a face in the past, assuming that means the way they did it in Madden the last few years. Well, now they can just knock out player faces and get hopefully pretty realistic faces in a quick amount of time. They also mentioned the new lighting system. And this, they actually bring up something you talked about on the last episode, JB. So I'm going to give you some props. They talk about the new lighting system and the stadium toolkit. Now they can build stadiums a lot quicker than they could in the past, about 1 week per stadium. The article does mention that Syracuse's JMA Wireless Dome was kind of the biggest challenge and also the biggest test. that if that stadium could not handle the lighting, if it couldn't handle the proper frames per second, that was really the test in which they based everything else by. And you mentioned last week when we saw the trailer from EA Sports, the official reveal trailer, how the JMA Wireless Dome looks so different and unique with the lighting. Well, this is why, because that was kind of like the real test for them. If they got that right, then everything else kind of, to me, it sounds like kind of fell in place.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to go back and see a Syracuse game just to see if it if that broadcast does have that kind of hue into it that we saw in the trailer. But you could notice a difference, many different differences. So it truly, as you go across the country, it's gonna feel like a new game, a fresh game. As you go across the country and play your schedules out and go year by year, it's gonna feel fresh. And that's kind of a really nice little thing that they've put into it. And on top of that, they've streamlined the process. So once other stadiums are, you know, as we go along with future titles, different bowl games, maybe FCS, things like that, it seems like it's a good foundation that they have streamlined now where in the past, it was probably on the chopping block because it was too many man hours.
That's a good point. Also, some other things in this article, they talk about the patterns schools have in their crowds. One of them, they mentioned Tennessee's checkerboard. Keen eyes in that teaser trailer noticed that the Tennessee crowd did not have the checkerboard. And later on, we'll talk about some of the things in that teaser trailer we believe has since been corrected. And they mentioned here the checkerboard isn't correct, is correct and in the game. So if you saw something in that reveal trailer that may not look right for your team, there's a chance it was still very much a work in progress and could be there.
Yeah, a lot of that was probably pre-alpha, because I don't even think we're at the beta stage yet for the game. So I bet you a lot of the stuff that you saw in that trailer was pre-alpha, which was probably builds from February or March. I would say at March, probably at the latest, by the time that took the time to edit and get things together. I would say probably that was a pre-alpha build that we were looking at there.
And one other small detail they mentioned, I know in the past we had heard that there were 12 to 13, I believe Matt Brown had shared 12 to 13 stadium specific things. Obviously, the Penn State whiteout and the S in the crowd being one. They did reveal one here. Arkansas State has the waterfall in the stadium, and when the Red Wolves score a touchdown, the fountains go off. So great news for Tommy and just fans in general. Everybody likes those small details, and everybody knows about little details like that. If you watch enough football. Now, granted, Arkansas State has not been on TV much of the last few years, sorry to say, but for the longest time they were a midweek staple. So to see that tradition in the game is really cool, and I'm really glad for the Arkansas State fans. This past week, Mike Straw Online had a report. He talked about some what he had heard per his source. We don't know who the source is, so I believe Mike historically has been a pretty accurate guy and tries to be accurate. What I thought was interesting about his report was that whoever he's talking to, I don't know if it's somebody at EA, if it's somebody who game tested, if somebody in testing. I don't know who it is. It doesn't really matter. But one of the things I thought was worth mentioning because community really got up in arms after this. Mike is reporting that his source is telling him that there's no ESPN license or score bug in the game. First off, that kind of seemed a little weird given all the ESPN talent in the game. But I went back and tried to do a little homework to see if there was any announcement on EA and ESPN having a contract. Well, I went back and found that about starting in 06, they had a 15-year deal where EA paid ESPN $850 million in ads and cash. That came out to about $56 million a year in ads and cash. And you got, if you remember back at the time, every EA Sports game had something ESPN related. Now, whether that was broadcast presentation like NCAA Football and NBA Live had, maybe it was just the ticker. When you're in the menus, I remember on the PS3 days, I believe, you would also get, you know, the scores at the bottom when you're in the main menu. Even going back to, I believe, the PS2 days, don't quote me, but PS2 days, I believe, when they started this, if you left in the main menu every 20 minutes, you get an ESPN Radio Sports Center update. Those are kind of the things they did with that license. I did not get a chance to go back and look at any EA Sports games over the last few years since that deal ended in 21. I don't believe any of them have any ESPN branding or items in it. JB, am I right or wrong with that? So I think we
No,
should.
no, Madden has not, I don't think, for the past couple of years. They've created their own HUDs basically, some as busy as they have been in the last year or so. The top of those kind of have a lot going on and they're not as concise, but they're not ESPN. I wonder if it this kind of protects them to enable them to bring in other company, other broadcasting companies, teams in the future for games. If you've got, you know, your top Fox team or your top NBC team, things like that. Because obviously with Madden, you got Brandon Godden and Charles Davis. Neither are affiliated with ESPN. They're both basically affiliated with Fox, Big Ten Network, with Charles a lot too, especially on the football and basketball side. So it's probably a way for them to be able to maybe even put some interesting teams together in the future if they want to from other networks.
And also, I believe that it's been kind of leaked or found out that Madden's going to have as a new commentary team this year. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with it. What scares me is I don't think EA has done a good job with, like you said, the scorebook has not been great in Madden. It's not quite as concise as what ESPN has or any of the broadcast networks for that matter. Also, the ticker, ESPN's is so good. And to be honest, Madden's has been not so good. It's like they copied the basics of it, but they didn't quite grasp all the nuance of it.
There's too much going on. And it's too, and what's going on is hard to read. And I think some of that stuff should be put on a L2 or R2 trigger or something pre-play, something to see pre-play, you know, while you're in formation. Because especially this year's Madden, this past Madden, it's just been, it's just a mess of icons and things. And it's not good.
Well, I'd say even the ticker at the bottom in Madden, when you're in franchise and it's trying to give you the scores of other games, for the longest time, all that text for like the player stats was all jumbled together. Like there were no spaces between some of the numbers and words and one constant scroll. It needs to be for a user. You know, it pops up one line at a time because then it can draw your eye to it when you want to look at it because you can see out of the corner of your eye, okay, it's changed. I can look real quick, read it, boom, back to the play. When it's just a scroll, it's so easy to ignore it. And that's how I found myself, at least. And I think the community is the same way. But there was a lot of uproar. The community very disappointed that ESPN, the license and official graphics, not in the game. And I completely understand that. But after I saw that $56 million a year, granted it's across all the esports titles, that's a lot of money.
And I mean, you ask the common Madden player.
That's a lot.
Yeah, you ask the common Madden player, do they miss it? Does it really make a big difference to you?
Never had it, so they don't miss it.
Like, do you notice it though? I mean, are you craving it?
I think they would take any broadcast presentation. This is what I get when I read Madden stuff online. They want EAs to be better. They don't care whose it is. If it's NFL Network or ESPN or NBC, they would take any of those over what EA does.
Yeah.
But part of that also, with that much money, you got to think, it's all a matter of resources. Would you rather have ESPN license and graphics, or now we don't know if this is in the game or not, or custom conferences?
It was cool back in March.
You got to pick.
Yeah, it was cool back in March Madness when you had CBS and ESPN. Mm-hmm. You know, that was kind of cool when you had two different ones. But with that associated cost, you know, would you rather have that be put somewhere else? Would you rather have that be put in something that is tangible, that is going to be in front of you to play as of watching? Right. Because, I mean, I think EA might have confirmed this in the past, and you could confirm it with almost any gamer. Most of that stuff, people button through it, skip through it on Madden, at least. Who sits through and watches all that? Because, you know, you got a game to finish, which, you know, can take an hour to play. And so sometimes, I think it's a very niche market of people that actually want to sit there and watch all those things play out, where people just want to get right into the next play, get right out of halftime, and get right into the next kickoff there. I think the majority of the casual players are not going to just sit there and watch everything play out because they don't have time to do so.
Some of the other things Mike mentions in his report, kind of things that not real surprising, to be honest. The option game has been a focus, which I think we all expect that. Obviously, you know, there's more option in the college game than Madden, for example. It talks about the wear and tear system. You don't want to wear down a player, kind of what we expect. And also that the game will try to focus on the differential between a 5-star and 2-star, that you'll really notice that on the field. But I think all those are things that we kind of expected in a way, not to diminish his source or his report. But to me, the biggest one was when he, in the Q&A segment of his live stream, when he said no ESPN in the game. And we're also winding down the leaks and rumors part of the speculation. Once the news comes out, all this stuff will end. But we do want to talk about some leaks and rumors, some way more legit in our opinion than others. First off, this one I tend to think is more legit than some rumors and leaks that I've seen over the last 72 hours. Posted on Reddit, this is a purported look at the EA Sports College Football 25 team select screen. To me, I think that generally speaking, I can believe that, and for various reasons, seems pretty accurate to me. Obviously, the setup in the background, if anyone had been to the old studio, at least that very reminiscent. I don't know. I have no clue what the new studio looks like. We know that EA took a lot of secondary graphics and assets from schools, which makes sense. They used it here. I mean, if this is a fake, it's a very well done fake. It's one of the best I've seen because they made sure to put all of these selections in here. You have the controller sides here. I don't know if this is impact player or I believe that's overall offense defense. That's very tough to read. It's kind of pixelated. You have the graphics for the rivalry. If this is true, JB, do you like this team select screen?
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it at all. I think it looks pretty good. Very interesting that maybe they were on camera being watched as they were taking a photo of this, though.
They might be in Sing Sing right now.
Possibly. I do like the rivalry logo there. I like that. The secondary logos are pretty cool. I think it is, in terms of a team select screen, I think it's checking all the boxes.
The only thing that's kind of surprising, and again, we can't see quite all of it, so maybe kind of surprised there's no impact player mentioned. But then again, like a lot of people said, this is better than what Madden has had. And I agree with that completely. I don't care for Madden's, and they've had that one for way too long to make it, you know, add insult to injury. We've put up with it way too long. As we record this, there were two other Reddit rumors that emerged in the last few hours. And JB, you may not even know about these, so I might be telling you this for the first time. I'll say right now, I don't know that I believe either one. So I will say that right now for disclaimer, but I will mention them just for the sake of honesty with the viewers and listeners. The first one being somebody went on Reddit, and if you ever browse a lot of message boards, when the first line is, "Hi, my brother is a senior marketing staffer at EA Sports, and I found out that the game has blah, blah, blah." To me, that's always a red flag. That is not everything I'm going to read after this is not true. But he is claiming, now there's a lot of platitudes in terms of teams were really hard to get a lot of extra details in Dynasty Mode. Well, we kind of know that. That's been mentioned in every blog and article they've put out for the last 2 years through ESPN.com. But the big thing that user mentioned was that users will have the ability to import up to 120 team builder teams. I don't know if I believe that. It also has some Dynasty details that I'm not 100% sure I can go with. A different user also then went on to Reddit in a different subforum for the game and says that the embargo for the media that we talked about at the beginning of the show will lift Wednesday, 12:01 a.m. And he claims he's in the media and has colleagues, so he knows that to be accurate. I don't know that I believe that either, because that would strongly imply EA will put something out on Tuesday and then the media will come in on Wednesday with their reports. I could be wrong, but I was always under the impression that EA typically had, you know, 10 a.m. midday release on embargoes, because nobody's going to want to put out a story at 12:01. EA will not want them to put out stories at 12:01. Everyone's going to be first, but no one's awake at that time. So you're not getting the eyeballs. You're not getting the traffic. So to me, I'm not saying the date's wrong, but the time to me was the red flag that I'm not sure I believe that rumor. Not saying he's wrong, just saying personally, they didn't pass the smell test.
Yeah, it's just like every other message board in college sports. I've got a guy inside the athletic department that knows everything. And yeah, so as soon as you start off with that, yeah, I think that one's pretty much BS. On top of that, I mean, Team Builder is going to be an offline thing anyways. So I don't think you're going to get 120 slots. You're not, even if you have 120, you're not able to recreate the college football landscape for Division One right now. So I mean, we could recreate FCS clearly, but
wonder what, why. Okay, let's say it's true. Why 120 and not the 134?
Yeah, exactly.
Did this guy not know how many schools there are, or is there a reason why would EA get so close and stop? I mean,
right, because he's just
the smell test.
He's just BSing, probably. Yeah. That's why.
And the post was since deleted, and it was deleted by the moderators. So I'm assuming that they saw it and realized
they smelt the fish on it.
Yeah. So I just thought it went viral. I saw it a lot of places before we came on here. So that's why I mentioned it. I don't believe those to be true, but I want it out there.
Yeah. And then with anything that comes out from EA, it's usually midday, because they usually roll into work about, well, they usually roll
it's
into
at 10
work.
10 a.m. Central, excuse me. Lebanese
They
time.
usually roll into work at about 10 o'clock Eastern. So they want to be in there and moderate anything that they want to yell at someone to, hey, this is not right, take it down or something like
Right,
that.
right.
So that they're sure as hell ain't going to do anything at midnight. So
For disclosure, I will probably be up at that time. Oh, excuse me, I guess that's tomorrow. But if it was
I'm
tonight,
always
I'd be up
up.
editing. You will need to be awake
Yeah.
12:01 Wednesday, JB, and let me
I
know
mean, I'm
before it
usually up
comes
that
out.
late anyway, so that's not a surprise.
But I
But
agree. Well,
yeah.
they would not have people putting out stuff at 12:01. I'm sorry, that doesn't pass the smell test.
Yeah, because they'll have people moderate those at EA, and if something is out that they don't want to see, they're going to give a, hey, take that down. And
Or
so they want
clarify
to,
something.
yeah. So they're going to want to be around to do that, and they aren't going to be around at midnight to do that.
No, no.
So that, yeah, that's not going to be true
So if
either.
anybody stays up late on Wednesday, don't. Get
Hey,
your
yeah.
sleep. And EA seems to like Thursday this year for the release date. I'm not saying nothing will come out on Tuesday, but it seems like Thursday is what they really like. And if you gotta think, we're coming off a holiday weekend, a lot of people are gonna be dragging tail on Tuesday. So I can't think EA would be real gung-ho about putting stuff out on Tuesday. Could be wrong. Hope I'm wrong, because I want information as much as anybody. But I'm just, when you look at the pattern, Thursday seems to be the day. Something we failed to mention last week on the features blog, two items that after when I edited the show, I realized I wish we had mentioned this, but we didn't have a lot of time, and there was just so much across so many different aspects of the website. So let's mention them real quick here. Two things we did not mention. One, the blog mentions that take in the sights and sounds around the stadium between plays with a dynamic picture-in-picture play call system. To me, that implies a new play call system, which I kind of wondered. I think we mentioned this. You know, we've had 3 years of shows since the game was announced, and we had talked about whether are they going to have a play call system similar to the past, will it be similar to Madden, or will it be something else? When I hear the words dynamic picture-in-picture play call system, what it reminds me of is NCAA Football 07. They had something similar to that. I would play this, but this user, he ran no huddle the whole game when I found this clip on YouTube. So I'm just going to pause it here so we can see what the play call looked like. I don't remember what they marketed this as or called it as, but I remember at the time when they talked about it, one of the aspects was when you're calling your play, you could still see what's going on the field. So it makes me think that we're going to get a modern version of this where you'll maybe see other stadium stuff. Now, to me, I could be wrong here, but back when you think back to the 07 days, there were still a lot of people on old format TVs, so that you know everything had to be kind of centered in the middle here. Well, nowadays they don't have to, so I don't think it's going to be as condensed as what we're seeing here from 07 back on the 360. But I do, by based on that limited description, I think we're going to see something similar where part of the panel will be showing us what's on the field, maybe the cheerleaders, maybe the mascot, the band, the fans. That's
Well,
my guess when I hear that. JB, do you think that, or you think it's something a little different, maybe?
I think with the fact that so many schools run up-tempo offense, which isn't necessarily no huddle because they just rush to the line, then they look at what play is being called, what's getting set up. I think this is more to be conducive to a lot of schools that run the up-tempo, and this allows to be able to play the to call the play once you get to the line. For those school, so they may be having those schools that are typically the ones that do that are gonna they're gonna probably do that by maybe to, by default, and so they're gonna be hurrying to the line, and then that's when you're setting up your play is when you're at the line. So maybe the there's they're taking kind of some of these newer wrinkles into the offense into account.
But yeah, again, thing that's Old Gen Gamer. I found that on his channel, that footage. One other thing in that blog, in Dynasty Mode, it mentions about creating a coach, taking control, upgrading their abilities, and build a powerhouse college football program. The key line then in the next sentence that a lot of people saw and wondered about: establish your coaching staff and then work to recruit, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of ways to take that is that you could read that and think this is going to be very much like we had in NCAA Football 14 with the skill trees and your coordinators. Some also could twist that to mean, do you get more control, larger coaching staff? Is it more similar to what Madden has? We don't know, but I do think it's worth mentioning that that was in the blog. So those wondering how deep Dynasty Mode might be, there's your hint that there will be a staff that you will work with and you get to establish.
Hopefully it's different than Madden because it just gets old building up points and then assigning points and it's basically a skill tree still. I mean, so hopefully they come up with something new and fresh with your coaching staff as opposed to what Madden still is using today.
Yep, the Madden's a lot of people, it's a lot of community say it's just not real engaging or fun. Collect Media put out an article talking about the money that EA is paying to the schools for royalties for the use of name, image, likeness, and logos in the college football game coming out this year. Four tiers, which we kind of knew about in the past, different money assigned to each level. This is based on your AP finishes over the past 10 years. So
Got it.
obviously, the tier one is a lot of the schools you expect. It's funny when you go through here. I'm spitballing here off memory, so if I'm a little bit wrong, I believe the top tier gets about like 100,000. The bottom tier is like 10,000. It's a pretty wide range between tier one and tier four. And all I could think when I saw this and saw the numbers was on how many message boards around the country and how many fans looked where their rival or chief opponent is at. And if they were down in three or four, they called them, boy, that really is a poverty program. That's a popular meme if you're not familiar with it, and a lot of banter between teams on Twitter and social media. That obviously, if you're in this lower tier, that's not a good spot to be in. That means your team has not been doing a lot of winning over the last 10 years.
Whoops.
This is something that's been going around social media the last week or so. People have found on both PlayStation and Xbox that when you go into, for at least on PlayStation, you go into the store and view the game, you can click on accessibility options. And it kind of gives, I don't want to say spoilers, but some vague things here. And the way I'm looking to the side, because I'm reading it off my TV at the time, under subtitles and captions on the PlayStation, it mentions you can play without subtitles because the game does not include spoken dialogue. So some people are inferring that to mean that there may be no cutscenes. Could be wrong on that, but that's the community assumption. And then under gameplay, there is a category for game speed, and it's defaulted to basic. And the description is, you can slow down the game for a limited amount of time or only when performing specific actions. So the community belief under that is that maybe reaction time in Road to Glory is back. That when you talk about slowing down for a limited amount of time, to me that screams reaction time. And also there's one other category there that mentions manual saving, the description being you can create manual save points that allow you to return to the game exactly where you left off. So similar to Madden, it sounds like if you want to stop a game, you can, and you can resume it when you come back. Not a surprise with these next gen or current gen technology, however you want to word it. But it is interesting that the accessibility options kind of give away, or at least some hints on some aspects of the game. Some interesting school assets that came out over the past week. We have Texas shared Darrell K. Royal Stadium. Looks pretty good there, JB. There was also an article from LSU. The Advocate, very interesting article. Wilson Alexander. We get a couple of images of the stadium. First, this one of the crowd and the scoreboard in the end zone, and then also of the field art. Pretty interesting. What's also interesting in that article is that Wilson was able to find out that 15 scholarship LSU players had not opted in, and 38 players overall, which seemed kind of high. And it was funny because shortly thereafter, some of the LSU players went to Twitter and said, how do I get in the game? So it makes you wonder. We had wondered if some players would be a little lazy, a little slow, or maybe they're whoever's in director of football operations maybe wasn't on their case like they were allegedly at other schools. But it sounds like some of those players have already gotten in. Player by last name of Lacey was the one that I saw, was the first one saying, how do I get in? Help me. And I believe one team partners even on Twitter responded directly, said, contact us, we'll get you in. Sure enough, I believe a day or two later, he came back and said that he's in the game. So interesting that we had this April 30th deadline, but it sounds like they're working to get everybody in who wants to be in. And we know that at last report, over 13,000 players, which means a lot of players, there's maybe quite a few not in the game because that's way more than 85 players per team.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna probably not have the best matching face or something, but if you're really late, but you know, it's not too hard to change a roster because they update Madden updates those every week. So, you know, NCAA should be able to turn that around without really too tough being able to edit in the player and their stats.
Also worth mentioning, speaking of LSU, when it comes to some of the details we saw in the reveal trailer, some inaccuracies, one of them being LSU. I don't know if a lot of keen eyes noticed this. I know some did in the community. LSU was an interesting one because their players did not have the SEC patch on the front of their jerseys. The nameplate on the back was too wide. The white box was cutting into their shoulder trim. And I noticed in the trailer, Mike the Tiger did not have the Nike logo, but the screenshot EA used for the thumbnail and very much has the Nike logo on Mike the Tiger. To me, implies that what we saw there, as we mentioned earlier, very much a work in progress, not final. One other aspect, and JB, you and I, we talked about this behind the scenes a little bit. There was a fan online who pointed out Alabama. He questioned, you know, the difference between the helmet and the jersey, and we looked at pictures and realized sometimes they very much match, and other times they very much do not, depending on lighting. But what stood out to me, and I think this was more probably universally correct, was that on the Alabama helmets, the number was bolded. It was too big for what it is in real life, which matches, unfortunately, with what we saw in the last show when we showed that Oklahoma screenshot, which I think a lot of people thought was the best screenshot EA put out of the game, where you got to see the weather, you got to see an entrance, you got to see the players interacting with one Jackson Arnold with his hand on the teammate's shoulder. But what stood out was everything else looked so darn good, but that OU logo was bolded too big. Hopefully those are two things that can get fixed, but it is interesting that all said now we have two helmets where the logos were scaled incorrectly. JB, let's do a funny story here. I don't know if you saw this online over the past week, that after the reveal trailer came out, there were some Ohio State fans pretty upset. They are claiming that EA is showing an extreme bias against Ohio State. Let me go through some of their points, and I'll give some counterpoints as well at the same time. They're claiming that no Ohio State athlete had ever been on the cover of the game, and that they're saying this is a longstanding bias against the, I shouldn't laugh, because then this is they're very serious and upset about this. Though I do think it's interesting. Okay, I agree historically has not been, but the deluxe edition of this year's game has Quinshon Judkins as one of the cover athlete, as one of the cover athletes. Okay, that's fine. I will say historically though, Eddie George was probably the most deserving of anybody, but he decided to go on Game Breaker. And that same year, EA Sports used Tommy Frazier on College Football USA 97, which only makes sense because Eddie George stole Tommy Frazier's Heisman, so Frazier got the cover of the better game. So to me, that seems like a wash. In the trailer, they point out that Donovan Edwards is stiff-arming Ohio State player, which, again, not a surprise because the game really focused on rivalries, so why wouldn't you have that?
Maybe beat Michigan this decade. That might help.
And also, there's a picture in the trailer, or a short clip in the trailer, where Illinois is defeating Ohio State in their rivalry, and they're holding up that trophy. That would be if that would happen in real life, that'd be the first time in 17 years. So the belief was they went out of their way to pick a rivalry that Ohio State has dominated and showed the other team winning. I also saw some tweets that went into the college of some of the employees. They went and found the senior production designer is a Michigan grad, the production director, a Michigan State grad. So they had found that there must be this longstanding Big Ten bias now infiltrated College Football 25 against Ohio State. But I will say, when they first put out the very, very first screenshot, JB, do you remember what it was?
I don't, off the top of my head.
The first screenshot they put up back in November of 22, first real screenshot, not just a stadium render in progress like we had for Michigan Stadium, was a Brutus Buckeye. So I don't think there's a bias against Ohio State, because Ohio State is such a big school, so many alumni, so many fans. I'm sure there are people in the studio who aren't fans of Ohio State, but at the same time, I don't think they would go out of their way to tick them off.
I mean, on top of that, your main play-by-play guy over the years has been an Ohio State guy.
Kirk Herbstreit. Yeah, that's a good call. I did not mention that in my point counterpoints.
Yeah. I think it's just a funny conspiracy.
I think it's a lot of funny coincidences. I don't think that was, I can't think that the senior production designer or production director would go to marketing and say, all right, we got to have a clip of Illinois beating.
Let's scream.
Yeah. And like I said, here's the clip of Quinshon Judkins on the deluxe edition cover. Again, I don't think there's a conspiracy, but I love good conspiracy theory. I don't think there's one there, unfortunately, but I did think it was funny. The people who had the homework they had done to try to prove that point. Over the last week, some community concerns, though, after the blog and the reveal trailer, people wondering about the game, can we export players into Madden? That obviously was not mentioned in the blog. I think that's something we'll get later on because it's kind of an in-the-weeds feature. But however, the thought process kind of emerged. They wondered, now that they have real player likenesses, can they import them to Madden? Wouldn't that be the equivalent of getting them into Madden without paying the players to be in Madden, if that makes sense? So I don't think until EA announces, we're not going to know. But I do see where that could potentially be an issue. I know that several months ago, the player contract kind of, I don't want to say leaked, but somebody found it or was able to get a copy of it and put it online. It might be worth going back and looking and reading the fine print to see if it says anything about, you know, if you sign up for the $600 to be in College Bowl 25, Is there something that somehow through an export or a create feature you can be in Matt? But I do understand the concern. That does seem like a bona fide concern down the line now.
Yeah, I mean, the draft classes at Madden are editable, and you get some dedicated people that put together those pretty quickly. Obviously, if everybody that signed a deal is now in the draft classes for the next 2 to 3 years in Madden, that's going to save some time as well. So that'll be kind of nice to have them in there for those that have played the franchise or the dyna you know, the franchise and the online franchise and things like that. That's going to be pretty handy. But you kind of wonder if maybe the NIL may tie into at least draft classes, not necessarily being in the game, because that's going to be separate, of course, once you go pro.
And the final item we want to mention on the show, the Lou Groza Award announces they will be in the game several weeks ago, maybe months ago, time has flown by. We believe that the National College Football Awards Association have basically said none of our awards that are under our umbrella will be in the game, except for the Heisman Trophy, which the Heisman Trust is, I don't know if I want to say separate, but they have enough power. They decided they would be in the game. Well, over the last week, the Lou Groza Award broke ranks from the NCFAA and says, no, we're going to be in the game as well. So one that makes me wonder if there's going to be more awards that might break ranks and get into the game. And I will say it's worth noting that the Lombardi Award is not in, as far as I know, unless something has changed very recently, not in the NCFAA, and it was also in NCAA 14. So it wouldn't shock me if that's another big award we see in the game when it comes out. JB, were you kind of surprised when this happened? And it's funny, the community reaction when they saw it was, you know, they said, well, this is my favorite award, right? I love this award, and now I'm going to have to go try to earn it with my player. They seem pretty happy and glad to see that this change of mind occurred. Because I think, like we mentioned on the show, when that happened, it makes more sense for these awards to be in the game than not.
Makes you wonder how tied they are to the NCFAA then, you know, because I think each award probably has its own entity in terms of organization and such. So you kind of wonder if there really isn't anything in place that's really prohibiting them to do so legally.
It sounds like they just default to what the association decides, but then they can always go back and say, no, we're not doing that. So it makes me, like you said, maybe the rest can go back and be like, well, we wouldn't mind getting a little money. You don't get to tell us we don't get to take money on this deal. We get to decide that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so with each award being its own organization, you gotta kind of see what's best for your visibility. And obviously, this is going to be a game that's going to be as visible of a sports game as any has been in a long time. Outside of, you know, I can't remember a sports game that has had so much build to it as this one, just because it's been gone for a decade.
And it didn't go away because it did poorly. It went away for other
No.
issues. That rarely happens. I mean, this is a perfect storm of just weird scenarios in terms of it did not go away because of poor sales. It went away for legal issues for a very popular sport where the fans are extremely diehards of a game that was considered to be, you know, excellent, one of the better sports games on the market. So I agree with you. This seems like you'd want to be on the in there on year one. So we'll see if anybody else breaks rank. It seems like it'd be awfully late for that. But at the same time, maybe it's not that difficult for them to do that and get in the game.
Yeah, I mean, if it's been in the game in the past, I'm sure it's not going to be too terribly difficult to get it back in.
So with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate podcast. We expect news very soon, hopefully in a matter of days, maybe even hours. And I do want to say, and I should have led off the show with this, but we've noticed a huge spike in listeners over Spotify over the last week. We appreciate it. And no matter how you're watching or listening to us, leave a 5-star review, a comment, subscribe, whatever's easiest for you and whatever that platform lets you do. It helps us grow the show so much and increase our listenership and viewership. And that's means a lot to us. So for Tommy, who's out in Louisville, and JB, I'm CDJ. Everyone, thank you for checking out this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.